the culture and subculture within the greater culture. So I think that was part of what was going on. But I think as we got into the late 70s, early 80s, and into the 90s, people begin to realize, you know, this was something that was very devastating, because as psychosocial issues began to develop and became more to the surface with the deeper meaning behind words and the etymology of words and where they came from, then people became to realize, whoa, this is some bad juju. This
right.
Stuff, you know?
Right.
So people became to look at the fact that, because, for example, you know, when the Egyptians identified the Hebrews, the word Hebrew was a derogatory term. They would always say, this Hebrew that you brought among us, you know, referring to Moses, that was a derogatory term to call someone a Hebrew. And so there's always been throughout history terms and meanings and identifications that have been used to put people down and to identify people. Well, I mean, you know, I was raised in a biracial environment. I mean, we had Mexican and Seminole Indian. My grandmother was not black, you know, on my mom's side. She was a Seminole Indian and Native American. Her father, which is my great-grandfather, was a Mexican that came across the border. And his wife was a Seminole Indian. So I've got that mixed culture. So when I was growing up, you know, and I told this as part of my testimony, you know, I hated black folks. Do you know why I hated black folks? Because these are the ones that teased me, call me, you know, pea color, call me different kinds of things that were not identifying as being black. And I hated the white folks because they subjugated the whole issue behind it. And then I hated the Mexicans because I knew what they were saying behind their back when they were speaking Spanish about us. And so, you know, I grew up a very angry, bitter person until, you know, I found my true faith and found out that, you know, love is the thing that conquers all. And ultimately went through my, you know, reconversion experience. So the point being is that I think William is on, I think, track with identifying the fact that once you look at the history behind certain things, it reveals its true meaning and its true colors, pun intended, true colors come out. And, you know, you can identify it for what it is. Because when you look at that word, like I said, the Greek word for slave is doulos in the New Testament. And a slave was someone who needed to be set free. Not the fact that they were subjugated and beaten and all this other kind of stuff, but they did not have property. They did not have a name. They took on their master's name, which is what this country did, you know, and became part of that subculture that became part of it. Look at one other fact. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. And you know why? The Samaritans were mixed-race people. If you have mixed-race people, they're always going to be looked down upon and looked hated. And, you know, the Samaritans are very dark-skinned people. Don't want to tell you that because some of the Jews don't want to admit that.
Right.
The woman at the well, when she was being identified by Jesus and called out for who she truly was, ultimately identified what she was, then she began to see the light. She had an epiphany. You know, the light came on. You know, no one ever told me this stuff before. That's what she said. But Jesus. Right. Those things to her. And so the issue, you know, comes back around full circle. We combat a lot of this stuff, which is what I was talking about this morning in my message, was the fact that we can overcome, and, you know, I don't mean to throw the politics back into it, William, but I think you'll let me give a quick plug.
How take your time.
And identify with an evil, reprobated-minded individual one who is probably as evil as anybody I have ever come across,
yep.
narcissistic, bombastic, you know, just self-loathing, to even be considered becoming president of the United States. Mm. I mean, to me, that's more horrifying than a racism. But that's another topic.
Well, you know, I tell you what, I'm enjoying this conversation. I've been listening to the whole time, and you're right on point. And Dr. Dimmer, I called you last night because I was fired up, and Dr. Dimmer was getting fired up.
I was.
I should have put you on a three-way call. I should have put you on a three-way call, but it was late here, and yeah. I knew it was early back on the West Coast. And my brother Clayton, he was saying, check this out. I'm going to quote it exactly what he says. I have a problem being called black. Mm. Why do we accept being called a color that we are not?
He
goes on to say, everyone can be called by their culture or nationality but us.
Woo. I got to say, I tell my kids all the time, we need to quit letting white people name stuff because they don't know their colors. They just don't. They call themselves white. They're more like a pale pink. They call Asian people yellow. What?
Yeah.
They call, you know, Native Americans
red.
And then they call us black. If this ain't brown, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, okay, why are y'all teaching the colors and name? And it's not just people. Has anybody ever had a white grape? I've had a green grape. I've had a purple grape, but I hadn't had a white grape. Hey, you know, but they call them white, you know?
if you get some, ship me some.
Now,
what the hell?
Wrong. The juice that it produces may be clear, but it ain't white. It's more of a yellowish color, in my opinion.
Man.
But I mean, there are lots of things like that. There are, you know, other foods that, okay, that's not red, or that's, you know, that's not black. A blackberry ain't black.
right.
It's a dark purple, but it's not black. But then again, you know, that's just me. I totally agree with what he's saying. Where does this come from?
You know, and we talked about this too. If it all boils down to it, and I don't want to simplify this at all, but this all boils down to money and power. And like you said, Dr. Demery, power, what he said, corrupts absolute power. How do you phrase that?
Reinhold Niebuhr is the one that coined the phrase. He said, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that for me. Because I'm going to tell you, if you look at everything, it's all about a power struggle. Because you have to look at this. Why did so many different power countries go into Africa and raped, pillaged the land, okay, the resources, and they're still doing it. What is Russia doing in Africa? What is Britain doing in Africa? Mm. I mean, you can go down France. I think they had a hand in that too. And every power company, country here, they've always, well, the United States. United States wasn't discovered by the Europeans or by Britain. There were people already here.
Right.
The only thing that Christopher Columbus found out that he was lost.
He was lost.
That was the only thing he discovered that he was lost.
And guess what? And got credit.
How are you going to discover a country where the people had their own distinctive language, had their own distinctive cultural system, had their own distinctive monetary system, and when they came over, here the Native Americans are watching them discovering them. What kind of nonsense is that?
And a deeper part of that, how can you take that land and make it your own? and they'll turn around and sell it and own and occupy it. Hey, look what we discovered.
Well, first you got to commit genocide.
Yeah.
That's what they did.
Absolutely. So, absolutely. You know, as far as Native American blood, because I'm going to tell you something. There are some folks out here, some of my white brothers, that they wouldn't dare take a DNA test because they'll find out they might have some African-American blood in them. Okay? You think about this. People. The world is more of a melting pot than you think. As a matter of fact, yeah, my mom and dad are black, but my grandfather was half Indian.
Oh, wow.
Okay? He was half Indian. Hmm. You know? So, folks, going back to what Dr. Dimery said, and then also quoting Jane Elliott, and both of them says there's only one race. Mm-hmm. And then if you look at it, and you look at and people are with different parts of the world, you can lose pigmentation if you move to different places of the world, and over time, then you may lose some of your pigmentation. Or you're going to, because you have to understand, where did the world begin in the first place? Where did it begin in the first place? They don't say it was, it began, or the human race that began in the first place. It wasn't in Europe, was it? It was not in Europe. That's why you have the powers to be that do not want history taught. They talk about critical race theory. And you know what they're saying? It's going to make some white people feel uncomfortable. Are you serious right now? Are you serious right now? Well, guess what? I've been uncomfortable for a long time here with the crap that's going on. And I didn't mean to use the word crap, but you know, that's better. That's better than the other one. That's better. But no, seriously. Hey, Dr. Dimery, I've got something here because I want to play this clip just a little bit. Let me see how much we're going to get out of this one. And you guys kick back.
It's race. Race. Now let's get a few things out there before we even begin. This is in no way seeking to place one group of people over another group of people. This is not about one group or race of people being better than another. Now, I do realize that the truth can often lead to different types of feelings, but this is not the purpose of this video. The goal of this video is for education. When we are educated on subjects, we allow ignorance to slowly go away. We are the most formally educated generation in the history of the world, but the vast majority of the world does not know much about races besides skin color or nationality. In our most modern history, over the past 3 or 4 centuries, the world has been divided by race and dominion of nations. So this is what we know today, and that's how the majority sees it. I'm an American by nationality of the country I was born and live in. But to many that see me, I am a black man from Africa. A white man is looked at as a Caucasian from Europe. A Chinese man is an Asian. So besides the color of our skin, people seek to identify us by continents and regions. But is that fair? Is that accurate? The simple answer is no, it is not. So we need to discuss why. Let's begin. Now before we go into history, let's talk about race. Because believe it or not, race is a fairly modern idea. Over the history of our world, people did not classify people by their race or skin color. People were classified by their tribal names, such as Persians, Greeks, Jews, Saxons, Ethiopians, Egyptians, etc. The world was not divided by the term Negro or Caucasian. The world being divided by color was an idea that originated from white supremacists in Europe after the Renaissance period. Johann F. Blumenbach, a German anthropologist born in 1752, died in the year 1840, was the first to divide humanity on the basis of skin color. We can attribute much of our racial divide today because of him. Thanks, Johan. Now, don't misunderstand me. Racism already existed before this time. There was already a belief in scientific racism, which I will touch on shortly. Blumenbach did not create racism. He simply placed a classification system that is still used today. An official classification of people did not exist before Blumenbach. His work is considered one of the most influential works in regard to race. He classified that there were five chief races of mankind. They were the Caucasian or white race. He was the first to use this classification for people of European origin. He believed the people of the Caucasus Mountains were the most beautiful people in the world. This is where the term Caucasian comes from. Next, he had the classification of Mongolians, or the yellow race, which included all of East Asia and some of Central Asia. Then we have the Malayan, or brown race, which included Southeast Asia and Pacific Islanders. Then the American, which was the red race. This was the American Indians. And lastly, the Ethiopians, or the black race, was the sub-Saharan Africans. He was a white supremacist and considered the Caucasian to be the original race. So when we start talking about racial divide, this is where the conversation starts from. He basically color-coded the people of the world. He was a racist. If you're calling people white people or black people, it's because of his classification system. Then we have a 19th century French aristocrat named Joseph Arthur de Gobineau. Forgive my pronunciations. Now, he was known for his influence on legitimizing racism through the scientific racist theory and developing the theory of an Aryan master race. He wrote a 1,400-page book named An Essay on the Inequality of the Human Races, which argues that there are differences between human races, that civilizations decline and fall when the races are mixed, and that the white race is superior. He used the scientific racism theory. The scientific racism theory believes that there is evidence that exists to support and justify racism. Simply, their racial discrimination is justified through evidence that there is racial inferiority and then there's racial superiority. Scientific racism was common from the 1600s to the end of World War II, after the fall of the Nazis. It was publicly denounced as racist, but obviously held as a belief in many other influencers still to this day. Anyways, it was this J.A. Gobineau that really helped legitimize racism as being valid. Now, there were many others, like Houston Stuart Chamberlain, 1855 to 1927, who wanted to advance the supremacy of the white Nordic race and its culture. The point is that due to the influence of men like these and many others, it's where we get the division of race today. They added a psychological value to race that made people believe it was so. Basically, being that at that time, European civilizations were dominating much of the world through inhabiting foreign lands and possessing major breakthroughs in technology, they thought that they were obviously superior and others were inferior. This was racism, and it led to a lot of horrible racial philosophy, as well as the justification of slavery by the white Christian Americans who believed that they believed in Jesus, but their slavery and bondage of other people was justified because they were racially superior. It's ridiculous. But the theory was eventually denounced by the world after what the Nazis did in World War II. So, any view of racism, black people, white people, racial division, all of it is a very modern idea. It is not how the world viewed and classified people. Now, I know that doesn't change anything, obviously. Knowing this would not change racism today, but it should change many people's understanding of where these thoughts come from. If you believe your race is superior, it's because of the theories of white supremacists starting from the 17th century. People that look at the world as the white race are the ones that are able to get it together and hold jobs and be civilized is an idea of white supremacy. This is not a natural view that has been held since the beginning of time. Or the reverse can be said, that if you believe the black man is superior because he is physically more endowed, this is a twisting of white supremacy. You only see skin color because a white supremacist classified people in this way, and the world eventually adopted this thinking. And then formal education and mind-controlling programs kept the classifications going. You can sit right next to me. You see, the powers that be want us to think in this way, and it's all for purpose of division. This is racism, and that's the condensed history of it. racism is an idea that has been taught to people in modern history.
It
is not an idea that has been held in existence since the beginning of time.
But it was actually very enlightening. I think that.
So the next question is, how did the world classify people before
that
then?
You were trying to
and where did these
earlier,
races
Dr.
that were classified
Henry, that,
come from?
Was that what you, the word you
now,
were looking
that
for?
Is a more in-depth question that can only be answered through an analysis of history.
Yeah, well,
like
I gotta
for
say,
the racist
it's,
theory,
it's
people were identified by their tribal name,
see
the people that they came from.
What one
the Moors, Arabs, Babylonians,
I mean,
Philistines,
we've got two different people.
And these tribes are what spread out amongst the earth since the beginning of civilization.
Putting forth a lie.
And certain tribes were more dominant than others and created
and
world empires of their known world during their time.
And you literally
so to have a better understanding of people,
world
we need to go back to world history.
Because
now my studies
those lies,
start back
it's
in the world's
like
best known history.
Going on
the Bible.
In real time with
if you believe
the way
that men evolved from monkeys, then you will disagree with the beginning of my explanation. Until
welcome,
we come to the civilizations
now,
that are
you know,
indisputable.
Since all this
my only question to those that believe this to be
pandemic,
true is,
people won't even take
why are
regular
monkeys
vaccines
today?
That they used to be given to them.
Anyways,
you know,
we
every
go to
year
the Bible.
Like the flu vaccine.
Now I know for many that don't believe
in
the Bible, you are immediately taken back
in it
and may want to stop watching because depending on who you are, you have different reasons for your lack of belief in the Bible.
So
this video is not discussion about.
I guess there's
God.
A lesson.
So you can take a step
to be
back
learned on. Here, but are we?
But if you
learning,
do want to discuss him,
think,
I have a series called History of Religion.
Well, I mean, I
started part
one,
and maybe it can answer some questions.
So true, and I think you're right.
But like I was
target,
saying, the Bible is a history book, primarily the Old
it
Testament.
Way.
It is a history book
you know,
of the Israelites.
The thing,
the
only thing that I would
ancient tribe of the world, just like the Egyptians and Babylonians,
about Jews.
But in their
and
history book, they provide
over,
good background
and
a good starting point for
me.
Anyone that wants to understand
because
the history
of
civilization.
But it's true.
The Bible is not my only source.
Are not
I suggest a book
a
by Rudolf Winsor
people.
Called
mm-hmm.
From Babylon
religion.
To Timbuktu.
They are not
his book is an excellent
people,
primer on history
you and
of civilizations.
I am, which I doubt it would ever
and
happen.
As any researcher does, he cites many sources that you should read as well that will help you in your overall understanding.
Okay.
So when I discuss history,
and,
I like to start post-flood with Noah.
So
this is where I start my history of religion series as well.
Here. Jews are not
because much of the world before
people.
That time
and
is not recorded.
Goldberg was right.
Now don't just run because I said no.
On the show, the view
give me a minute or two, please.
That same
just follow me.
She was exactly right.
Noah had three sons.
Right.
They
her,
were Ham,
but she's
Shem,
right. Jews
and Japheth.
Are not a race of people.
And from these three sons, the world was repopulated.
System.
So if we were really to classify people today,
way of
it would be proper
and
to classify people
in
according
that
to this.
Process. So,
there are Semites, Hamites,
that,
and Japhites.
Exactly
but your enemy does not want the Bible validated.
Issue
so
about,
he will not teach you in this
racist,
way.
Because, for example,
again, not according to color of skin, but according to tribe.
That's right down your baby
now,
weight.
The book of Genesis
this
really provides a good basis of understanding of who these people
over
are. When we read Genesis,
issues.
And
it
talks
about
the different
money.
Sons of men.
Yes, it was about power.
He begot
yes,
him.
It was about wanting
then
to do
he begot
certain
him.
Things. But when you draw the line
when reading
across
that,
the Mason
we can often just skim
the
over that as useless info. Mm-hmm. But if we decide
Arkansas
to dig deep to gain more understanding, we can really grow.
Right, yes it does.
That info explains tribes of people.
About that.
And if you follow the history
line,
of those tribes,
the
you can follow the history of the world. This is why I speak of the Bible as the most known history.
That's what
you can debate about Noah
and
say it didn't happen.
A lot of
I absolutely
that's
believe it did.
Get upset
but when you
I
keep reading after
you.
Noah, honest when it starts talking about the different tribal names,
did not
you cannot debate that these
slavery.
People and tribes existed.
Right.
And this is what I will be speaking
of. The issue of money.
Let's start with the Hamites.
Labor.
The descendants
the
of Ham.
People that wanted
I start with them
not
because in the beginning of recorded
slavery.
Ancient history, they were the tribes of the great
you
civilization.
Know? So honest Abe wasn't
let's
all that honest and wasn't all
I'm
that
give any of my pronunciation.
Abe, they think he said
in Genesis
he was.
Chapter 10,
but
it says,
he was, and he was
the sons
to
of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and
so
Canaan.
The issue was,
the sons of Cush were
back to the
Seba,
fact that
Abila.
Our own country has to bear witness to the fact that we were subjugated, when I say we, African Americans or those who were descended from Africans, are subjugated to the afterthought of that whole process of slavery, demeaning, making less than, making you, that it's not up to par with my race, and my race is more superior than your race. That's what it's all about, and that's what it's been about in this country. And that's what and I'm sorry, Ann, I'm going political again. That's what's happening with these MAGA idiots and these nationalism and this Christian nationalism. They're forgetting the Christianity Foundation about treat your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor is more than you love yourself is the greatest gift of all. And they're missing all that because their agendas, which are wrong from the very beginning, are being addressed by this nut, this lunatic. And so that's why they back this guy. They don't care that he's done all the stuff that he's done, said all the stuff that he said, has made promise that he's going to do all that he said he's going to do. And I believe that's one of the things that I think he has some integrity on. When he says he's going to do something, he's probably going to do it.
Right. He don't lie all the time. He tell you the truth sometimes.
No matter how idiotic it was. So and that's what's the sad part behind the fact why these people are believing in that whole system and that whole process. Now, you may talk about, you know, Joe Biden being an old man with a gait of an old man, and that may be true. He may stutter, but he's overcome his stuttering. He's worked at it. I would take him any day. I'd take a jackass.
Absolutely. Hey, guys. Hey, I want to stop you for a second here because I have two surprise guests in studio right now. And the first one I'm going to bring on is Dr. Patricia Aldridge.
Okay. Hi, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Pull your mic over there. Okay.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's good to be here.
This is a total surprise. But this one, the next guest, oh my goodness, I had the pleasure of interviewing this brilliant lady. How many years ago was it, Dr. Aldridge?
Come on. That was probably about 3 years ago.
Was it 3 years ago?
I think it was three or four.
Oh my God. I wish I had my drum roll sound effect. I really do.
Let's see if
I'm going to let this lady right here introduce herself.
Hi, I'm Dr. Khalilah Ali, Muhammad Ali's wife, Khalilah.
Oh, wow. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you with us.
I'm a big fan of Rudolph Dillery. How you doing, bro? What's going on?
Amen.
Thank you, Rudolph.
Oh, and number two. Yes. Now,
wow,
Dr. Ali. Oh, my God. I would just let her talk. Because today is her birthday, and I am honored.
Thank you.
I am honored, ladies and gentlemen, to have this beautiful lady sitting right next to me in studio. I mean, Dr. Ali.
We actually ran up on you this time,
didn't we? Yeah, yep. They did. I mean, wow, I'm just blown away because I've been asking about you, and also I have a picture of you and Muhammad Ali
right here in studio. Came to the door. It's amazing. I'm so honored that I'm on your wall. Thank you. I just want to say that I just came from Dubai in Saudi Arabia. I just made my Umrah in Mecca, and then I went to New York for the interview with the UK about David Frost interviews of Muhammad Ali back in the day. And then a friend of mine, I'm a pilot, and I have a friend that's a pilot. Wow. I call her Goose, and I'm Maverick. So she asked me to come down to bring my books. My new book just dropped. It tells my whole story about me and Muhammad Ali, okay? That is not in any books anywhere, and the book is named Undefeated, and it has nothing to do with Muhammad Ali as far as the title. Because I never been undefeated. He lost his title, and that's a done deal, but I didn't lose mine.
So where's
congratulations
my, where's my autograph copy?
Oh yeah, I have to come back because I came here, the sister pilot, she invited me to come to sell my books at the Veterans Hospital in Richmond, and for 2 days, I was there from 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the evening, and I'm supposed to be going to Raleigh, North Carolina, God willing, and I have no books for Raleigh. Wow. I sold them all here. Thank God. So I had to ship some books to Raleigh. They should get there Monday. Oh my goodness. It's just amazing because it's a wonderful story that's untold.
Right. You know, Dr. Ali, the subject matter of today was, the history of racism. And let me introduce, my co-host here. That's Ann Wooten Taylor.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Ann is a family court judge out of Arkansas.
Wow.
Yeah.
Court judge.
Oh, William.
Oh, my
God. Unemployment insurance.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And wait, correct me where I'm wrong. Okay.
A black Afro-American judge. Who knew? Yes. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then it's Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery.
Oh, I know about Rudolph Demery. I've heard him do lectures and speaking on different platforms and Zooms and everything, sneaking in. I've seen him, and he reminds me of so much of another civil rights leader back in the day. He knows who I'm talking about, right?
I'm just a country preacher.
That's awesome. The man is humble, too. Oh, my goodness. Okay. I love him.
Okay. Now, you just joined me on that. We have 1/2 hour to go.
And you were talking on racism?
Yes, we were. And I want your take on that because we're talking about the history of racism because we were talking about certain people that says, women, hold it. We had a playing a clip from another gentleman, and he was saying, and this was a guy, white guy, and he says, look, there's only one race, and we're talking about the human race. Jane Eller, you probably heard about her. There's only one, well, she's a white lady. She says, there's really only one race, and we're talking about the history of racism and why did it start. And my thing is, I'm going to circle this right now, it's all about the money and exploitation and appropriation.
Yeah.
I want your take on that,
and
please.
And it's also made through groups of families that taught hate. Back in the days, I'm just looking at some of the maybe the hippy-dippy days, okay? During the hippy-dippy, what made hippy-dippies came out is when white America would teach their children, certain groups of white Americans, there was just groups of them, families that was teaching their children about blacks being different and they shouldn't associate with them. And then when they meet them, they find something different. Then they turned into hippies and yippies and turned against their parents. That was a little group. So racism has been here as long as you've been had a devil and angels. So, you know what I mean? I mean, because even the devil went against God when God created Adam and put him on earth to be the father of all mankind. So it's always been hate there. Racism has always been there. And it's there because of, like you said, you know, money. It's all about money. It's about insecurities. And about failures and people who have failed and control people with racism.
I appreciate that. And then, Dr. Ali, I want you to jump in, too, because, Dr. Ali, you know more than anybody. And I want to say, to ask this. When Muhammad Ali was stripped and not allowed to box, how much did racism have to play into that whole situation?
It was huge.
Let's talk about it.
A black man speaking out for his beliefs. And then, you know, you got white people that spoke against the Vietnam War. Jane Fonda, they hated and blackballed her for years.
Of course.
And she's white. So, you know, it has nothing to do with color. The racism is in the makeup of the human person. The race has no color. It never has. They think it's about color, but it's in the person that makes racial stands out. You know, insecurities.
And making people feel less than, stripping them down.
And
taking
control of those people. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yeah. And like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad from years ago that took and tried to separate blacks from whites so he could train blacks to appreciate who they are because they had very low self-esteem and it's because of racism in the South. But you see how they fought right here in their own country fighting for their freedom. Fighting for freedom. And now people are coming over the borders, okay, illegally, and taking everything that America has for the people in America already. And they're trying to rob even that. And, you know, it's amazing. You know, I was just reading up on the Oreo cookie. You ever see the sign on Oreo cookie? It's a double cross on the Oreo cookie, and it was made for the Christians who were kings and rulers, but their whole fight was to genocide Muslims and Jews.
Okay, you're going to have to break that down a little bit more for me, because...
it's, you know the Oreo cookie, the black and white
Oreo
cookie?
Yeah, of course,
yeah. Yeah, it's got a cross on it, double cross. On top of the Oreo cookie. It's been there for a long time. It is the Nabisco symbol. It's the Nabisco. Nabisco is a cookie.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's made with the symbol of the double cross that these soldiers of Christianity want to genocide Judaism and Islam, Muslim and Jews. They want to just
wipe them out.
Wow.
And you just Google it, you'll see it. Just Google up the signs on Oreo cookie and it will tell you right there. Wow. Genocide, you know, Muslims and Jews.
As a matter of fact, I believe that because there's a lot of symbolism in the products that we buy.
A lot. And we don't pay attention. To it. We don't pay attention.
Dr. Orange, come on. I've never known you to be silent.
You know what? Let me tell you something about woman, Dr. Patricia Aldridge. I went to her school. Bushell.
Yeah,
I went to her school in Bushell, and we had a wonderful time with the kids and everything. And I saw how strong and beautiful this woman was as far as education and how she cares for the kids and how they constructed the kids in the school. It was wonderful. And I was about to go to Africa, and I said, I'm taking her to Africa with me.
She told me about it.
Yeah. We had a ball. It's just befitting to take somebody of education so she can come back and educate the kids.
Right. Yes. Oh, boy.
And I did.
Okay.
We had a good time, didn't we?
She told me about it. And Ann has also been to Africa.
What part of Africa, Ann?
I went to Senegal and the Gambia, but it was when I was in college, so it's been a long time ago.
Yeah, you'll never forget it, and I know it. No. Okay, how long ago it was, it takes effect on you.
She mentioned the very same thing. You know, I know there are some beautiful places in Africa, and I'm going to ask first Dr. Aldridge, and then you,
Dr. Ali. I love to hear her speak anyway. Okay,
yeah. I'll ask you.
She's amazing.
What we see on TV is not reflective of all of Africa. I know there's some beautiful places in there, some luxurious places in there. So your take on why do we see only like the desert land or the starvation and things of that nature? Or what is your take on that?
I think that is what they want you to see. Because I also had the opportunity to go to Ghana this summer.
Go where?
Ghana.
Okay.
And I have a stool now, so I am Queen Akuia Mansah. Oh. And the thing that was so intriguing about going to Ghana is I felt my true roots. There was no doubt in my mind, because I had always said that we're the only race who really can't really trace ourselves back. Mm. You know, if you're German, you can trace your roots. If you're Irish, you can trace your roots. But we could not, simply because once we came over on that boat, across that water, we lost our identities and we lost our surnames. So we were given slave masters' names. And so when I went to Ghana, we had the opportunity to go to Elamina and visit the Door of No Return. Now that Door of No Return actually opened out into the ocean. Because once you went through that door, you were placed on a boat, and you never returned. So when I came back, and I say I came back, my DNA survived. So I was able to go back. And once that plane landed, I was celebrated. They said, welcome home, welcome home. And I felt at home because they had the opportunity to see the product of the ancestors, offspring that left there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when Dr. Ali took me to South Africa, that was a completely different.
I bet it was.
Yeah. It was very Americanized, wasn't it, Dr. Ali? We had a good time. It was my first trip to Africa.
Yeah.
And had I not gone to both, I would have thought all of Africa was like Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
But when we went to South Africa, and everybody knew Dr. Ali in South Africa. She said, mm-hmm. Who was the greatest? If I said, who was the greatest, what would you say? They said, Muhammad Ali. What is it? Mm-hmm. Ali, Bombaya. And they just celebrated her once they found out. And it was like, I was like, wow, that's like being back here in America.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you looked at, I mean, it was so modernized that
Because they only took you to the modernized area.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. They took us to the modern. We happened to go by, we had our own van driver, so we did see some of the other, you know,
we went on
hardships.
Safari. Yeah. We saw it on safari.
Yes, yeah. So we saw that part too. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you there was no racism. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel any racism.
No.
None whatsoever.
No.
Mm-hmm.
And even when I was in Ghana, people didn't hear, sometimes we are discriminated against because of the color of our skin. In Ghana, there's no such thing.
Mm.
You're all brown.
Mm.
And so there is no discrimination, whether you're a light pigment or dark or medium, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let's talk a little bit about, because I saw something, I don't have that clip pulled up, but it was about several countries in Africa, and they went from 10 through 1 about the countries exporting billions and billions of dollars of their own resources, you know, to other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about some of, not what we see on TV, but some of the great things that you've seen in Africa as far as the industry there or the architecture there, the infrastructure in certain places.
Yeah, you know, the very first time that I was invited to go to Africa is when Muhammad Ali was supposed to fight George Foreman to the Congo, which was called the Zaire, who was run by Mobutu Sese Seko, the president of Zaire. And then by Ali having a fight over there, Lloyd Price suggested to have a concert. So I was the one that was choosing some of the musicians from America to go to Africa. And I thought, this is a chance for our Afro-American people in America to see Africa. During that time, you're talking 74, 75.
Mm.
Now, this is the time we were still fighting for civil rights and fighting for things here in America. We was throwing the hand up, doing the black power thing. We were struggling for black power in America. When we got to Africa, we saw black power in action.
Yes.
We saw black pilots flying the planes. We saw black control workers in the towers. We saw black power in reality while we were fighting for it in America. So I chose some of the musicians like James Brown, some of our black Afro-Americans who are good stars, to give them the opportunity to see Africa for the first time.
Amazing.
And it was a beautiful thing. As for the support, I asked Mobutu Sese Seko to take me outside there and see safari and everything in its realm on a natural level. These people, I got to see them and see the wasteland and where the lions and everything that we thought Tarzan was at. But he wasn't there. I didn't see Tarzan, not one Tarzan over there, not one. And if I did, he's probably working in the kitchen or something. You see a lot of white people working like the regular black people be working here. But long story short, when it comes to the diamonds and the resources of Africa, yes, a lot of countries has robbed Africa of its resources.
Yep.
And the fact that they don't have water, they don't have running water, and they don't have places like that, then all this riches they could actually keep in their country and upgrade their country to water. I saw where Bishop Tutu went over there and opened up a pavilion where they were living in huts okay? Mm-hmm. It was called Felipe compound, where their houses is made out of tin and wood, scrapped together, dirt floors. They have to, if you know how you and I sit here and we go to the bathroom? Mm-hmm. Well, they don't. They have to walk maybe 2, 3, 4 blocks to go to a bathroom. Wow. A latrine. Mm-hmm. And for them to take a shower, there's no plumbing, there's no, in their houses, they have to go to a certain section to have a shower compound. And a lot of women are raped going there.
Yes.
And a lot of things are happening. And this is why all the minerals and the precious jewels are highway hijacked out of Africa, where they should stay in Africa to build up for their own people in Africa. Mm-hmm. And this is a shame, and it's working like that, you know, like the diamonds that you saw. Remember the guy Leonardo DiCaprio did about diamonds?
Mm-hmm.
Blood diamonds? And these Africans work and dig up these diamonds, and they steal them, and they take them from them, don't give none of the workers anything. They're robbing them blind right in their own country, taking resources. This is why a lot of these countries are fighting wars with each other when they should be fighting for their rights and their freedom. Mm-hmm. Why come over here and mess with us? They don't give us anything. They don't come over here and help us in our wars.
That's right.
And we've taken all the money, giving it to them. What have Ukraine done for us that we have to take all our money and resources and give it to the Ukraine? What's wrong with that picture? What's wrong with that picture? That is something wrong with that picture. Now the Jews and the Muslims are fighting over there each other, and these people who are fighting, they're gangs that are fighting. These are not soldiers. These are gang members that's trying to take over the country to keep from freeding running through the country. But see, people are going to get killed. Yes.
Yes.
People are going to get sacrificed. Yes. So were we. We sacrificed. But you should stay in your country and fight for your country, for your rights. Mm-hmm. Why flee to another country? You have jewels, manganese, rubber. You got right there in your country. And if you fight for it, you'll get it back. But of course, we die every day. How many slaves died before we start living the way we need to live? How many slaves died? Right.
Do you think that is a design from the powers to be to keep us divided, keep us fighting? So you keep your eyes off of them and we fight among ourselves.
That's right. Absolutely. And that's the way it is. Until somebody wake up and use their common sense.
Wow.
You know. You know what? When the Creator created us, He created the most highly intelligent human being ever.
Mm-hmm.
And our intelligence is able to negotiate out of bounds and bounds of negotiations that can be settled. Mm-hmm. When you don't use your human mind to settle these things in which you were created to do, then that's when they don't want to negotiate. They just want to take. That's when the devil comes in, and then that's where war starts.
Like you said, when we don't do that, then they can take over. And
that's right.
What happened is, Dr. Aubrey's jumping here because in your background with the education, that's what happened. If you strip us of the ability to think.
Yes.
Critically.
Absolutely.
Okay. Dr. Ali was saying, be able to have the powers and the ability to negotiate, you know, and fight for what you want.
That's right.
Because my question or my statement, I was a young man, I was saying, a very young man, I was saying, women, hold it. Why? Knowing a little bit about my history at that time. Mm-hmm. If I am inferior, then why do you don't want me to read?
Why?
You know, why?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Because if you tell me you're superior, you're supposed to dominate over me anyway. So why are you going to deny me the right to read? And I figured out at that time, it was a lie you're taking. Yeah.
They don't want you to read because they don't want you to find out the true information about Absolutely. Yourself. And, you know, it's funny. It's really funny that I was autographing a teenager's autograph the other day, and he looked and said, "You know what, sweetheart?" He says, Mama, they call me Mama Ali. They said, Mama Ali, I cannot read cursive. I said, do you go to school? Because they've taken penmanship manuscript out of school right here in America. What you going to do, sign an X on your mortgage?
You know,
sign an X on your car?
We just talked about it a couple of weeks
ago. That's going backwards in life.
Didn't we talk about that?
We did talk about that, and I did say one of the things that I am very proud of at Bouchon Middle is that our in-school suspension room, when you go in there, it's not just because you were acting up, you were bad. The teacher that we have there is a ex-military man, and what they have to do the first day in there is write 3 Maya Angelou poems, and then they start writing in cursive. So he has that structure.
I love it
because I can tell the students who've been in, we call it RISE because it's restructuring, restorative. Like the prison system has restorative justice. We call it restorative practice because we don't want to be compared to the penal system.
Right.
But you can tell those students who have been in there because you'll find those are the students who are writing in cursive. Or at least trying. So when we have the forms, when it gets suspended, they have to come back, do a reinstatement, and they sign the application. Most of them just print their names. But when you see them writing, it may not be quite, you know, as legible, but I give them A for effort.
Right.
Yeah, because it's something they haven't been taught. And that's a shame. You know, we had to do it growing up in school. And then with every action that's taken, that I think is adversarial to what should be going forward, I ask the question, why, Dr. Ali? Why? And then the answer always comes back to me. It's about power and control.
Yes. That's all it is. And you know what? You don't have to, you know, all you have to do is block out certain issues, block out people that want to say to you something negative or dormant or disrespectful. But this is the thing. If you rise above that and teach yourself how to write. If something's not happening in school, fight for it to put it back in school. You guys are in school, you can fight for your education. You can fight for writing back. You can fight for putting prayer back in school. Prayer needs to be back in school. You're supposed to pray over your food. You definitely have to pray over the kids going to school because they need to be protected. You cannot be protected without prayer. Prayer is a very powerful thing.
Can I tell you a cute little story that just happened the other day? And I like the fact that Dr. Ali said we need to fight for prayer back in school.
Yes, ma'am.
We have now metal detectors in school. You know, it's kind of gotten to that point. And so as I was checking book bags, I looked at a young man's book bag, and I said, oh, you have the Bible in here. And he said, yeah. I said, what church do you go to? He said, oh, I don't go to church. I just read the Bible. Well, I thought that was very, very commendable. For him to say that.
You got to give it somewhere.
But he had that in his backpack, bringing it to school.
That's amazing.
I loved it.
Because that boy is going to grow with spiritual foundation.
Yes, he will.
It's going to be easier for him to communicate and work with others.
Yes. And you know, Dr. Ali, he has a cupcake coming, and I'm going to tell him.
He has a cupcake coming.
Yeah, for my birthday.
He has a cupcake.
Oh, that is beautiful. Yes. And Dr. Dibbery, jump in here. We got a few more minutes. Anything you want to say to Dr. Aries and Dr. Ali? Anything you want to share?
No. I bow down to you, ladies.
Thank you. Great queens.
You are queens of the faith. And I am just honored to be on the show with you guys, along with Ann and some of the other ladies that we have on. You guys are great. And so I am just to be in your presence.
Okay. You know You know, by you saying that, you make me think about the whole reason why I wrote my book. It took time because during the time Ali was getting ready to write his book, or we were supposed to write our book, I filed for divorce. And so,
wait a minute, hold it.
Yeah, I was filing for divorce. And so, you know, cause I didn't want to, you know, divorce is not something that is a picnic. You know, you're upset, you're riled up, you're going through a bad thing. I just didn't want to, join Ali and say anything because I didn't want to unsay something. So it's best for me when I get upset, I just stop. I don't talk. I don't say anything. I try to figure it out why this happened to me. And, it's very painful. And, cause I didn't marry to get a divorce, but I couldn't stay with a person that was disrespecting me. So this is the thing. When I start learning, why is this happening to me? Which a lot of women say. I realized it was nothing happening to me. Mm. It was happening for me.
Wow.
And when I got that book of healing, I forgave Ali for everything that he did wrong to me and disrespected me. I forgave him and I said, look, man, you know, I'm not going to be your wife anymore, but I tell you what, because I'm not going to deal with your shenanigans. Because anytime a woman has a man and he and she knows he's doing something disrespectful all the time, it's time to let him go. Because then you are the person who accepts what he's doing. I'm not going to accept disrespect. I'm not. And and all these women who get divorced and everything, you know, I learned something from that, from healing. Because I helped build that Ali brand. That's our brand. That's not just his brand. It's our brand. Because without me, he wouldn't have that brand. So I look at the fact and say, look, Muhammad, I'm not gonna let you, no white man in no courthouse, tell me what we supposed to do with our kids. Right. That is not happening.
When you married him, was he Cassius Clay or Muhammad Ali?
When I met him, he was Cassius Clay.
Okay, now,
see, this is why, Rudolph, this is why you gotta get this book, because this book is gonna tell you why I did what I did, and it's gonna explain why I'm a voice for women who talk bad about, you know, I hated men. I hated everything about them because this great man who I admired broke my heart. I said, but this is the thing. When I learned to forgive, it opened a whole new light for me. Right. And I'm here to tell you divorced women or women who are broken from your families and broke your families up. Let me tell you something. Do not call your man dogs, even though he acts like one. You're supposed to uplift him.
Wow.
If you can't be with him, at least uplift him. Quit bickering about he ain't give us children. Look, you know, he ain't taking care of the baby. You're supposed to go to a man like that and say, look, baby, I can't be with you, but I tell you what, I know you are a man and you are a provider. And you're a protector. You created that way. And I know if you put yourself together, you can be somebody.
Okay, come on.
And you got to take that man and say, baby, you got to make him believe those words. And if he starts believing what you say, you ain't got to tell him to take care of your baby. Okay. He'll do it automatically.
Isn't that something?
Right.
So the only thing that saved my life against black men is because my father was a great black man.
Wow.
Amen.
And he took care of my mother with all costs. And he took care of us. And he trained us. He said, look, I'm going to teach you right from wrong, but you go to jail, I ain't getting you out. None of us went to jail either.
Praise the
Lord. No. He said, you better talk your way out of a paper bag. He said, and you gotta watch the company you keep. Don't go down with them. Cause they are not your friends. Wow. So that's how I learned that a black woman should sit down, quit cussing, quit fussing. Talk to your man that you just divorced and left. Talk to him. Say, baby, there was a time we loved each other. So I'm gonna come back. I can't be with you no more. But I know I got hope for you. You gotta love him. And I ask married women, men and women every day. When the last time you gave your husband a bath?
Uh-oh.
You're supposed to give your husband a bath at least once a month. And I believe He would turn around and do the same to you without you saying a thing.
Isn't that something?
He will be giving you flowers. He'll give you anything you want and desire if you just have faith in him and make him believe he has faith in himself.
Wow.
So if you are married and then you get divorced and one goes one way and they got their freedom, the other one goes her way and she got her freedom, so where's the animosity? Well, you gotta hate each other. You're not married anymore. You're done.
It's done.
But the connection that God put together for you that you've so much learned from, I learned so much from divorce, it's incredible. I love Ali even more because I divorced him. I'm really good about it. I feel good about it.
Dr. Ali.
Because you know what? You know what?
Wow.
Is there's a goal that a woman has to reach.
That's right.
And sometimes the man just ain't gonna be strong enough to go up there with her. You gotta let him go.
You gotta let him go.
There you go.
You know what? She's preaching it.
Yes, she is.
But she's the only Muslim female that I know that has a doctorate in theology.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I got it. Oh, thank you.
Isn't that something?
I did, I sacrificed myself when I married Muhammad Ali. I didn't go to college. I took my college money and took care of him. when I divorced him, I said, I got to go back.
Oh, my goodness.
I went back. I got my master's. I got my associate's. But in 2018, I got my doctorate degree in theology because I love religion. I think religion is the most beautiful satire ever. And religion means, you know what religion means? Lifestyle. That's all it means. It means lifestyle. That's it. It just means lifestyle. A way of life, a way of being in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then the Muslim, Holy Quran teaches that Allah said he blessed the gospel. He blessed the Jewish people, the Torah. Mm-hmm. He blessed the Muslims. Of course he blessed the gospel because Jesus was part of the gospel. Moses was part of the gospel. All of these prophets is a part of the gospel. So he just given us a choice to choose from.
I got you. Dr. Ali.
He give us choices.
Dr. Ali.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We always go over. Anytime you're on, and I haven't seen you in 2.5, almost 3 years. But let me ask you this. Before I want you to go and plug your book again, but I've got to ask you one last question.
Yes, sir.
Got to ask you. Okay. Where are you headed next? Are you going to be in the States for a while, or are you going back overseas to Africa?
Oh, definitely. I just came back from Saudi Arabia. And